All right, turning your Bibles to Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 1. If you have the handout, I do not have any more made, but if you have the handout, we're going to be looking at the final point on the handout entitled The Power of Knowing. But just by way of review, we have seen, as we've studied these verses, we have seen beginning in verse 15 of chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, we've seen how our faith and love are to clearly mark our character as a church and as individuals. We've come to comprehend the blessing of knowing there is hope in God's calling, there's great riches in His inheritance, and there's the exceeding greatness of His power. And last time we were together, we looked at that great power. We looked how that power can give us confidence in life. It's exceeding in greatness. It's effectual for believers. Remember, it's personal, and it's engaging with purpose. Remember then also we noticed that God has shown that power through Christ's resurrection. And through Christ's exaltation, He reigns and He sits at the right hand of the throne of God. And then we have seen how God has placed Him as the authority or the head over all things, and everything is under His feet. Today we're confronted with the position of the church in Christ. And that is worded very specifically. As you will see in our text, the position of the church in Christ, in the sphere of Christ, in who Christ is. Where does the church fit in? It's a good question, and one that we need to be able to answer, one that we need to understand. Where do we fit in as the church? What is the church, really? Let's look at our text, Ephesians chapter 1. And we'll pick up in verse 22, Ephesians 1, verse 22. Paul writes, "And hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all." Now, as we read that, I trust that you can grasp a glimmer of the powerful language. Although in English it doesn't come across this way, in the original language there's some very powerful expressions going on here. A very powerful picture of the church and of our position in Christ, our relationship with Christ. The immediate picture that I trust you get is that of the head and the body. And that is the way Paul is introducing here the church in this letter. Now let's remember, he's writing to the people in Ephesus. He has already spent considerable time with them. He has already ministered to them. He's now in a Roman prison, a couple years after he has been with them in person. And when he was last with them in person, he communicated to them, and at least to the elders of that church, some very encouraging but challenging language. Acts chapter 20 records that for us, and I just want to read a portion of that discourse. Acts chapter 20. I want you to notice in verse 28, the Apostle Paul is speaking here to the leadership of the church at Ephesus, and he says this in verse 28. He says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood." You see, the Apostle Paul had already explained to this church of who they are, the roles the leaders were to play, how valuable and precious they were. He goes on in Acts 20 to warn them of false teachers. But In his letter to the Ephesians here in the book of Ephesus, we're going to see this picture of the church spelled out even further. As we look at our text today, there are two main points that we want to grasp. And as we study today, these are two things I'd like to draw your attention to. The first is this: the church is subject to Christ, who is the head. Now you may say, that's obvious. Well, okay. Well, what does it really mean, though? What does it really mean? So the first is the church is subject to Christ, who is the head. And if you want to look at it another way, you could say that this is the church's posture of submission. A posture of submission. In other words, this is the position posture that the church is to take. That is of subjection under Jesus Christ, the head. Second thought or truth that we can grasp from this passage is that Christ is completed by the church, which is his body. You could say it this way: this is the church's practice of service. This is the church's application of their position and posture. This is their living out who they are, their subjection under Jesus Christ. It's the practice that goes forth and flows from that. I love the book of Ephesians and many of Paul's letters, for they are very neat in the way they are written. The first half usually is teaching truth and theology and how to know God and what is important in knowing God. And then usually the latter half of the letter or the book is full of practical application of working out the truth that you've learned in the first half. That's true in the book of Ephesians. In the first three chapters, you see all this truth being taught. The last three chapters, you see practical application. Well, look at our text here, verses 22 and 23. I just want to break it down for us, and we'll talk further about understanding our posture of submission and our practice of service. Verse 22, "And hath," this speaking of God, "hath put all things under Jesus Christ's feet." God the Father has put all things under Jesus Christ's feet. We talked a little bit about how, last time, how Jesus Christ is ruling over all. He is the authority over all. Everything is under his feet. And the remaining portion of that, verse 22, "and gave him to be the head over all things to the church." So what's so significant about the head? I talked about this with our kids around the supper table one evening, and we talked about the head and what's so important about it. And we came up with quite a list. I mean, think about it. And you may say, this is so simple. Well, I want you to grasp it. I want you to hear, whether you think it's simple or not, listen to how important the head is. You realize, don't you, that the body is dependent upon the head. For the body to live and to exist, it needs the head. Why? Well, how do you feed yourself? You feed yourself through your head. My kids enjoyed this little exercise. I trust you will as well. How do we hear? We hear through our head. How do we see? We see through our head. How do we smell? Through our head. How do we think? Well, we think in our head. How do we taste? Taste through our head. We talk through our head. I mean, these are some pretty significant things, aren't they? I mean, your head should have the main central computer of your body that tells the rest of you what to do and when to do it. And with that being true, we understand how dependent our body is upon the head. Now, you say you've heard all of this before. Well, absolutely, but this is just an excellent reminder that God has established this as the picture of our relationship to Jesus Christ. He's the head, and the church is his body. That's the picture he's given to us to help us to better understand who we are and how we are to live as his followers. So he's our head, we are his body. Now, that's the posture of submission. This text in verse 22, it says, "And hath put all things under his feet." That is the same word that's used later in the book to speak of a wife's submission to her husband. I could call that marital submission. You also see in Ephesians 5:21 how we are to submit ourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. I'd call that mutual submission. We are to submit to one another in the marriage relationship. A wife is to submit to her husband. Now, that is not necessarily a put down or a message of inferiority. It is a order of God's authority structure. It is the way God has established things to operate in a fluid manner. You know, God designed us. God set all of this up, and he knows best how it will operate. And he knows that then when there is one head, one clear leader, things will work properly. When you have multiple heads, what direction do you go in? You know, marriages, many times, that's one of the biggest struggles. We know from the very curse at the very beginning in Genesis chapter 3 that a woman's desire will be for her husband. And I believe that's speaking primarily of wanting to be that authority just like the husband. And there's that great tension. You know, here in Ephesians chapter 1, God introduces this concept of headship and the body, and he's then going to use it to clarify the marriage relationship later in this very letter. So it's important that we understand this posture of submission. Submission, and I know this, and you know this, submission is humbling. To submit is humbling, isn't it? It is humbling to place yourself under the authority of another. I can remember as I worked in the surveying field for several years, and I worked my way up to being a crew chief. As a crew chief, I was the authority in the field. I would make the decisions. I would say how the work is to be done. But periodically, my boss would come out. Now, he spent a lot of time in the office. He did spend time in the field, but now he was in the office. But periodically, he would come out and work out in the field with us. It was humbling now, because my position was no longer that of I was the authority one, the one telling others what to do, but rather he was the one telling me what to do, and it was an adjustment. I had to adjust. It was humbling. What is humility? What is it, really? Here's a definition that I like to use for humility. This is what helps me to really grasp this truth. Humility is understanding what is true about yourself. Understanding truly your position. Understanding how God really views you. In the surveying field, my position was under my boss, whether he was in the office or out in the field. And here in the church, our position is that is of under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a humbling position, but I want to tell you it's very helpful. Because I want to say something to you, very important. If we were not in this position of subjection, we would be in total chaos and disarray. Because this one and this one and this one and this one would try to be the head and try to be the leader. There would be factions and all kinds of mess. You see, God knows. God has set this posture up of humility. And when I think of humility, I think of pictures a lot of times. I think of being on my knees, okay? This is a humbling position. When you're on your knees in front of someone, I know if I have to speak to someone some hard things, if I have to say some things to hard things to someone, many times I will get on my knees because it helps me to realize, you know what, I'm not great. I am in a position of subjection under the authority of my God. That's the posture that we as a church are in. It's a humble position, but it's helpful because God, in His infinite wisdom, knows what is best. That's where He wants us to be. He wants us to realize who we are really. We're not the head. We're in subjection underneath the head, and that is Jesus Christ. What else is submission? Submission is security. There's security there. Think about this, will you? There is security in knowing that you are doing what your master wants you to do. Think about how you feel when you did not do what your master or authority told you to do. There was a fear of them finding out. There was a fear of them coming around the corner and catching you. There's great security in knowing that this is the right position for us as a church to be in, under the very headship of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So what does this mean for us? How does this apply? Well, church, we need to practice this posture in our lives. And the Apostle Paul gives us this truth. Look at verse 23. Which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Well, what do you see there? I trust that you see that although Jesus Christ is the head and the body is dependent upon the head, I want you to see in this context how important the body is to the head. I know that God is infinite and all-powerful, and He can do whatever He wants to do, however He wants to do it, whenever He wants to do it. And I'm not going to say anything against that. But God, in His infinite wisdom, has designed the church to be the body of Christ. We have the head, Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you something, and let's put this illustration aside and think about, humanly speaking here, of what value is your head without the body? I mean, what are you going to do? The head is supported by the body. I mean, you can turn, you can look up and around. It's supported by the body. The head is moved by the body. The head is given blood by the body, their heart. Think about that. The head is necessary because there is a body that needs it. The body gives the head a reason to exist. And don't go too far in this illustration. I just am illustrating for you how the body and the head are so closely dependent upon one another. The head is able to serve because of the body. Your hands. You and your head think you want to help someone. You go and help them because you have the body that moves you there and is able, helps you to serve. The head is able to travel and move around because of the body. The head is held high because of the body. In other words, the head's not rolling around on the ground. It's held up. It's protected by the body. Now you might say, well, isn't that a little speaking against the authority and power and greatness of Jesus Christ? No, it is not. Hear me through on this. The text says this, which is his body. Now it's speaking of the church. The church is his body, the fullness of him, the completion, the entirety of him that filleth to entirety all in all. So the body is dependent upon Jesus Christ for the strength to be the body that supports the head. How's that for that? That's a hard one to grasp. But realize this: we wouldn't be who we are if it wasn't for Jesus Christ. And the church is the body that supports Jesus Christ, the head. But yet he makes us valuable. He is our leader. He tells us what to do. He gives us the strength to do it. They're so intricately connected. So we understand our posture of submission, but we also understand that there is a practice for service. We are Christ's body. We are who complete Jesus Christ. We are completion. We are completing him. And this, think about it in this way. When Jesus Christ was on the earth, he made something very clear to his disciples. And that is that they would be able to accomplish much more, hear me through on this, much more with him in heaven than they could if he remained on the earth. John chapter 14, verse 12, he told his disciples this, and he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Now that's kind of a hard thing to understand. But my understanding of that is that Jesus Christ went back to the Father, which opened the door for the Spirit of God to come down. And the Spirit of God, being a spirit, could live and reside in all believers. And to this day, believers are spread across the known world, ministering under the power of the Spirit of God. When Jesus Christ was on earth, yes, he was fully man, but fully God. Yes, I know all of that. But he confined himself to a human body, one human body. He had one voice that people could hear, and yes, he ministered great miracles, and he did incredible work. But the truth he wanted his disciples to grasp was, listen, just because I am going back into heaven doesn't mean this whole thing is over. No, it means that greater things are about to come. And if you read the book of Acts, you see how this incredible truth of God that began with Jesus Christ and his earthly ministry spread from Jerusalem, from Galilee, from Israel, all across the known Roman world. And today, we see it across the entire globe. And we are seeking to understand just a few more languages. I mean, there's probably a couple thousand yet languages to interpret the scriptures and understand the scriptures in, but God is at work all around the world. You see, God has sent his Spirit. And the book of Acts tells us this. It displays this truth for us. God sent his Spirit to equip us and empower us as believers to be God's feet, to be God's hands, to be God's spokespeople, to do God's service, to do God's works, to show God to this world. Jesus Christ is our head. We are his body. We are in a position, a posture of submission underneath his authority, and we will not question that. We must not. But we also need to understand the great value of our position, and that we need to practically serve and live out who we are. We're Christ's body. There's an intimate connection there. We are his hands and we are his feet. And if you read other passages in the scriptures that speak of the church, Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it speaks again of this illustration of the body of Christ and Jesus Christ being our head. And it speaks of how important every single member is to the entire church, to the body of Christ, to Jesus Christ and his work. You know, God cares about this world. He loves this world. And he has the church here to minister that love, to display that love to this world. We are his body. And I want you to know that there will come a time when this body, and the book of Ephesians also calls this body Christ's bride, when this body is removed from the earth and it is united with its head, who is also called in this same letter the bridegroom, Jesus Christ, we will be united with him in heaven. What a glorious day that will be. But until that day comes, church, we need to operate understanding that we are subject to Jesus Christ, our head, and that we are to serve him, to practice serving, living out who we are. We're Christ's body. We're his hands and his feet, his mouth, his eyes and his ears on this earth. And Jesus Christ, God has chosen to use us. Does God have to use us? No, he didn't have to. It's God's way. It's what God designed. And so let us live up to this calling, this position in Christ, church. This is a very crucial and important role that we play. As I thought through these truths, I asked myself, what does this mean for me? And I trust you are asking these same things. If I'm to understand Christ as the head of the church, this is going to increase my confidence in the church. And that is continually going to God for guidance and truth. My confidence in the church is based upon scriptures such as these, where we realize that we are Christ's body and we need to operate the way God wants us to operate as a church in unity, in a healthy body, as all of its members working well, taking care of one another. And we need to operate in that way. But we gain our guidance and our strength from the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? This should propel us to be a praying church. We need to be intimately connected with our head. We need to know what Jesus is saying. We need to listen to him. We need to be in the Word. You know that God speaks to you today? Did you know that? He does so through his Word, church. And you've got to be in it to hear him. This challenges me. To pray. Because I want to know what my head, my chief, is directing me to do. Prayer is that intimate connection that takes me from this physical body and connects me with the very Spirit of God. It's a wonderful, wonderful privilege that he's given to us. Are you praying? If Jesus is the head of the church, then I know that we're not alone or abandoned. Many times we just operate as this physical entity, but we are so much more than that. We're more than just a group of people. We're not just like some earthly organization and lodge that has members and people pay their dues and they just go together to have fun every once in a while. No. We are way more than that. We are the living organism, the living body of Jesus Christ, the very Savior of the world who has died and paid the penalty for your sin and mine. It's by His grace that we're a part of His body, and it's by His grace that we are sustained to live as His body. We're not alone. We're His church. He has not forsaken us. He is very near. He is close. The Spirit lives within you, dear ones. God cares about us. He's active in our midst. That's why I love testimony time. That's why I love praying with you, because I'm hearing what God is doing, and you need to hear that. Share those things. What is God showing you? How is He teaching you? How does He support you and encourage you? God is at work. A healthy church is a church that does things because God directed them, and not because of trends or traditions, not because of officers or opinions, not because of a pastor, or not because of pleasures. It's because of God's direction. You know, that's why I'm not afraid. If God is directing us in certain ways, we pray about it. If you come to our business meetings, I've been trying, as God is directing me, to allow them to be times of prayer, because we are Christ's body. We've got to hear Him and know Him and be unified in Him. I'm not afraid to wait for His bidding. Wait for Him to bring unity in the body. Christ is the head. We must get this right now. We need to get it right. This illustration is going to be used further in the scriptures, and we need to realize without a head, we have no guidance. Without a head, we have no direction. We have no sustainable life. We have no power. We have no nourishment. And you want some practical advice? Understanding this is going to help you in your marriage. Understanding this is going to help you in your involvement in the local church. I pray that this will propel you to ask the Lord, how can I be an active part of that body? As a believer, you are. And I want to encourage you to be a part of the local body right here in Rural Grove and be a part and serve the Lord. So where have we been? We had a posture of submission. Do you see yourself in a humble manner as subject to the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ? I need to see myself there as your pastor. I am no better than any of you. I am just in a role that God has placed me here to minister the Word of God, but you are in a role of serving or in a role of teaching, whatever it might be. There's all kinds of different ways that the body operates. Everybody's different. You know, you look at your body. There's all different things that operate. But we all have to be agreed. Jesus is our head. We've got to agree on that truth. Lord Jesus, I thank You for this time, and I thank You for this church. I thank You for Your precious word. And I know, God, that You wanted us to hear these things today. And I pray, God, that anything that was said that was not of You would be quickly forgotten. I'm asking, God, for Your grace and mercy to be evident in each of our lives as we wrestle with these truths. Oh, help us, Lord, to be humble, to be submissive to You, and help us to be actively serving, to practice, to live out who we are as Your body. Empower Your people today. Encourage them. Be their strength as they go out into the workplace, in the world. Help them to stand and to be a bright light for You, for Your honor and Your glory. May You be praised today. In Jesus' name, amen.